It's like they have a real unique look to them that we have not seen on the tabletop.
Listen up, Umi. This is a podcast with the most Ducker. This is Forge the Narrative.
Hello and welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. I'm very sorry for missing last week. I got some cool stuff to talk to you about. We are the Bella Lost Souls podcast. I'm joined by Adam Camilleri.
Hey, everybody.
Tanya Gates and Red Powell.
Hello.
Hey, everyone.
Folks, it has been just a jam-packed, just like Warhammer frenzy over the last, I don't know, week and a half or so.
Almost like a fest?
Yeah, I've actually been like super nerdy. I saw the finale of Moon Knight, Doctor Strange 2, went to a Warhammer tournament, watched Warhammer Fest, like fully saturated over here.
Gosh, you're such a dork.
I want to tell you about some comics. Did y'all tune in for part of Warhammer Fest, or at least as much as you could?
Yeah, as much as I could.
I tuned in live the first day, and then it was happening while I was doing the stream that I do with Skari for the other day, so I didn't get anything else, but that first day was really fun.
Chaos Knights.
Yeah, that first day was wild, man. They front-loaded the out of that and gave you some banger.
I'm so glad that Demon Prince comes with multiple head options, because the one that they showed it with first, I'm just like, what is this? This is like some Death Note looking stuff, but like the other faces, they make more sense to me.
Kind of like how it pays homage to, you know, the model we know and love, the metal one from a long time ago, which was the basis of lots of different conversions. I mean, things have been used for years, and you know, now we're kind of getting a plastic, probably upsized version of that.
Did it kind of seem to you guys like that kit's going to come with a lot of bits?
Yes.
Yeah, I was looking at the legs, so it's got different like feet and whatnot, and then I'm interested to see how the backs go, if it's just those wings and the old school like Chaos Space Marine Demon Prince pieces for the back. So I'll be interested to see how that goes. I couldn't tell if I saw different tails or not.
I thought I did see different tails, but I might be incorrect. But I know there's at least like five heads, right? So there's six heads.
Six heads.
There's
one for each. Six heads, yeah.
One for each god and two undivided. That's a good kit. Like that already, that's a good kit.
Man, Demon Prince bits are the best. I mean, that's kind of one of the things that can just inject so much character and personality, style into your army is just a really cool looking Demon Prince. I'm pretty jazzed. Then we got, you know, stuff for Age of Sigmar.
Yeah.
New Sylvaneth coming out. Y'all know I play Sylvaneth.
That Sylvaneth stuff, like the Bug Riders or whatever. Oh, those are so cool.
Agreed. And then all the Horus Heresy stuff that they got displayed. I did not expect all the heavy weapon kits.
Oh, man. If there's one thing that always bothered me, it was that I could never get enough heavy weapons for my stuff. It was always so hard to kind of like magpie gather them together. Especially, and I'll speak for all of my nation of Australia, like it was always so hard to justify buying a kit of just weapons when you could probably cobble them together from bits if you put in enough time. And then you could just buy some more dudes, like buy some more bespoke Terminators or get some more shoulder pads and helms and stuff to make them truly unique. Because you can find heavy weapons and special weapons everywhere, as long as you're willing to go through the hoops of sculpting and converting. But now that is a brilliant idea. Such a brilliant idea to just have packs of... Here's your pack of special weapons. Here is your pack of heavy weapons.
Yeah, the special weapon.
You get a whole
comes with 60 weapons.
Yeah, you get like enough. Yeah, that's like 10 flamers, 10 plasma, 10 melter, 10. Yeah, it's crazy. It's so good.
Now that is the way that you equip them in the Heresy. The squads are not like modern day Space Marines. They are like specialized units. So you would have your heavy weapon squad as a unit of 10 Marines with flamers or melter guns or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. For those who don't know, the Legions used to be cool, and then Gilliman got scared and ruined them. So you know, here we are.
It is Gilliman's fault.
It is. I mean, like I just finished Mortis in the Horus Heresy, so I'm almost up to date. And you're like, yeah, kind of fair enough. They shouldn't be able to the legions, you know, shouldn't be strong enough to like do what they're doing right now.
I mean, you know, when you're kind of fighting this whole galaxy worth of stuff and you need something, you need a hammer. The legions were pretty good hammers when it came down to it. And when you think about it, I mean, and you can actually read even now as Gilliman returns. He admits he made a mistake. He sees where the Imperium is in the 41st millennium.
Not just one mistake.
It just bit of a knee-jerk reaction, bit of an overcorrection there. Because, like, I mean, we know, like, the Primaris units that are coming out now are very Legion-based. They're all super specialized, which is what the Legions had. You had your tactical Marines to go up and just be your line troopers. Then you had all your specialists. Like, I've got my 30K Dark Angels. I've got my favorite unit is a 10 Volkite Charger support unit, because they're just sick. Volkite is cool, and it's just 10 guys with like essentially spicier bolters, and it's very fun.
I think that these are going to lend bits. Of course, these will be out to every range. You know, the sizes are seemingly pretty comparable, at least for a hand swap or whatever, in case you found yourself needing some of these weapons, maybe, you know, for your TAC Marines or any kind of like custom builds for chapters. The fact that you can get, you know, 30 heavy weapons, 20 heavy weapons, you know, in a kit to basically outfit the squads however you want without having to compromise, I think is a big hobby, like gift almost. And if I could continue to talk about Heresy for a second, is that Lucius the Eternal model, while I have no interest in Slaanesh, I am very interested in those sword arm bits.
Oh, dude, 100%. Yeah, the shoulder sword and the Leia sword that he's got. Interesting to note, I want to know how big that sword is. Is that the same sword Fulgrim gave him? Like, cause that, I would assume.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'd assume that sword should be like as big as he is, but with the photos we have, I haven't got the size of the scale unless it shrinks, you know.
I was gonna say, so I mean, you see the artwork and everything. I'm pretty confident that it is that sword, and that it, I would not put it past it to have the ability or the capacity to do that. Kind of like, you know, I think there's several weapons that we've seen that kind of, because of their ethereal nature, have the ability to shift or change according to the user. Mm. So
it's like magic items in D&D.
Well, I mean, even the Emperor's sword, according to Gilliman, you know.
Or it's like the Saiyan armor outfits in Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, good. Okay. Now we've gone full circle. Let's jump that shark back this way.
No, just leave me on this side of the shark. Thank you.
The sword does look about as tall as the miniature.
Yeah, which it should be. Like, it's cool. It's funnily enough, like, this is like a mid-heresy Lucius, right? This isn't like start of the heresy, like, well, what, who, the guy we read about in the first three novels, right? Because that guy is supposed to be like kind of gorgeous and unscarred, and we've got this kind of grizzled, pretty messed up dude.
Yeah, but he wasn't given that sword until later down the road.
Oh, either. Until he'd done some stuff.
Yeah. Didn't he get his, I mean, those cuts, are they self-inflicted or are they just from his battles?
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
I think a couple are from battles now in the Heresy.
Yeah,
a lot of them were pre.
That's how it starts, right? He fighting the Beast of Murder or something like that. He gets cut up and then he kind of like taps into that and it becomes a ritualistic thing for him down the road.
Man, he likes it.
I hope we get a Shere Khan model. Now, doesn't get as much press, of course, as Lucy's here. But I'm pretty sure Shere Khan, no spoilers, has tangled with him multiple times and only one of them has walked away from that.
Is that the Raven?
Raven Guard dude.
Yeah,
got a really good story about that.
Mm. Is that all of them now? Like in the Heresy? So we've got, I mean, the first captains. We have the Khan. We have Khan the Betrayer, or Khan just the Khan.
First captains. Got, come on, man. Karn was the eighth captain. Let's go.
He was the eighth captain. Oh, come on. He's the first. I don't know. It's whatever.
Fulgrim's not the first captain either.
That's right.
I'm sorry, not Fulgrim. Lucius.
No. But you know what I mean? Like the leaders of these legions in the 41st millennium. Because we've got Khan, we've got Lucius, we've got Typhus or Typhon.
Araman?
Who else are we? And
Erebus.
Yeah.
Nope. Where's Erebus?
Do you mean the ones that came from, are they still around in Warhammer 40,000? Or do you mean truly the leaders of the
legions? Well, you know what? They've got they've got Corpharon. Do they not have Erebus?
There is. There's a Corpharon Erebus. Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Yeah, and Erebus. Yeah. But there's no. There's no. I've yet to read a story about Erebus in the 41st millennium, which leads me to some conclusions.
I don't think there's a Ascalon, but there is a Roldaron, and I got him this past weekend. I'm like, well, I better get this guy before he sells out.
Is that the gent cleaning the blood off his sword?
It is, yeah. He's the Blood Angel Legion Master, captain of the first company. Well, actually, probably should go ahead and advise people to go ahead and, like, Heresy seems like they're going to be putting a lot of push behind it. So if there are any characters in the character series that you want to get and they're available, you should probably get them now that we're on the subject.
So I used to have, I pulled the trigger when the last Plastic Horse Heresy box, was it Kelth? Was released, and I got it, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna, like, paint salamanders or whatever, and I just never got around to it because nobody played Horus Heresy around here at that time. But I bought the Vulcan model, and I took it out of the box because it's beautiful, it's forge rolled, right? And I took it out of the box, and I was like, yeah, no. And then I just put it right back in the box, and I was too intimidated to paint it, and I got rid of it, and now I kind of like, I kind of feel sad that I sold it.
Well, if you were interested in jumping back in, I feel like this set that's coming out is going to be pretty sweet. I mean, it comes with tons of figures. I mean, ones that you could share with buddies, but you're probably just going to want them all yourself.
Yeah, it's hard for me to make that jump because I like to paint, like, my own paint schemes and stuff. And I feel like Horus Heresy doesn't lend itself to, like, creative paint schemes. You kind of have to follow the box art.
There are avenues.
Sure. Like,
man, maybe that's where you were going, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's... So you do kind of have to pick a legion, right? You can't just be Space Marines. Well, I guess you can, but, like, access to rules and things like that, like, you're going to want to pick a legion to roll out with. But there's nothing saying that you can't be the second or the... What's the other one?
The 18th or something?
Something like that. And so there's
I know I just
offended
all the 18th legionaries just, out there. Yeah, but...
Yes, you did. but the legions, we were just talking about it, right? You're talking about thousands upon thousands of Space Marines. And there's nothing saying that you can't make, just like all of the Space Marines ultimately are, just offshoots of other core Space Marines. And so there's nothing saying you can't do that. There is some, you know, kind of historic play to it. But at the same time, like... I mean, you know how the Space Marines, the Ultramarines divide themselves, like, with little color lines on their sides or whatever? Like, there's no way there were tens of thousands of Ultramarines that just used one color, like, shoulder pad kind of deal. Like, they had to have more variants to distinguish themselves.
The 18th are actually the Salamanders.
Ooh, look at that.
yeah, 100% what Red was saying. Like, you have to kind of pick a scheme, but then within that scheme, go nuts. Like, make it your own. There's so many ways to make things bespoke. Like, my Dark Angels, they're pretty much red, like, you know, the same black as all the other Dark Angels, except I got a stripe down their head and a stripe down the right shin pad of a red stripe, just to make them mine, just because that's what I wanted to paint on my Dark Angels. And it's because, like, each legion has, in Dark Angels especially, has different chapters and different orders within it. There's different orders within, brotherhoods within the White Scars, for example, where you can paint white in pretty much whichever way you want, really. You know, have yellow as the spot color instead of red because that's your brotherhood. You can kind of, there is a lot of room to move.
Yeah, and the Space Marines from the legions before they were brought on by, you know, the Primarchs. So, like, you take what some of them looked like beforehand and then what they looked like afterwards. There is a lot of variation between that. Like, even, as was mentioned, the World Eaters, before they were the World Eaters, they were the Warhounds, I believe. And they had a completely different scheme, and they ended up changing up what they looked like. And
it was Death Guard with the Dusk Raiders.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And there's also... If you go a little bit into the Heresy, it's not the Gray Shields or something. But
there's the Black Shields that are all the loyalists who want to prove themselves despite the fact that their legions went traitor mode.
Well, the Malkador's guys, you know, like before they became the Inquisition or...
And became the Grey Knights. What are they called?
The Knights Errant or something.
Yes, that is it. Knights Errant.
There's flexibility. And how you put I mean, look, it's a hobby game. Like, I don't think anyone would ever, well, I guess it almost, I mean, I was going to say that, but Heresy might be special. It's like,
Like heresy is very special.
Yeah, probably would. You probably need some explanation. They would want to know your story, but once you told them your story, I think they would be on board with you, you know, painting your models however you wanted.
I shared the lore behind my very first army and like in a Facebook group, and I got basically gatekept so bad that I don't share my lore anymore with anyone.
Heresy players would love to hear it. That's. I feel like that is going to be almost like categorically true.
Well, nobody gets to hear it anymore. It's in my head. It's my story.
True headcanon.
Yeah.
Well, look, Rolderon is on. I'm on the Forge Rolls right now. Already sold out. So if there are any characters that anybody's looking to get, I highly suggest you try to get it. Or there were some at the Forge World booth at the US Open Series. So come hang out with us in San Diego. That's my plug.
For that.
How did it go? How was the event? I ended up seeing some top eight snapshots that I thought were quite, I want to say interesting, but I think it's the opposite is the truth.
Oh, no, there really was a compelling orc list. Like, orcs made it to the top four and could have gone all the way. I mean,
not just any orcs, blood axes.
Yeah, blood axes.
Yeah.
They're, one of the supplements that they got recently, that surprise stratagem, was putting in a ton of work. One of the folks playing Hogan, I understand, is a great, great tyranny player. It definitely showed great skill navigating. We actually, we didn't know he was going to go on some, tear through the tournament. We had him on the stream multiple times and was making some great plays and just beat out, I think his name was Marshall, playing the orcs. And that was a great game, but it ended up being Tyranids in the final. But I can hear the groans already, but I really don't want to take anything away from that, the piloting and the effort of those players. And also, we know them to be longtime Tyranid players also. Not that has to matter, but, they definitely put a lot of effort into getting there, and it showed, and we got to see some great games along the way. But overall, the event went really well. There were folks playing Sigmar, folks doing open gaming, folks playing in the Warhammer 40,000 tournament, of course, buying stuff from the booth, some things you can only get there or at events. There was a bits crafting competition. There were paint classes.
I think those are great. I love when those are always fun.
Yeah, the paint classes by world-class painters. People were making some pretty impressive stuff in the bits. So it was actually a good time in a cool venue, in a cool city. And it's one of those things to where I'm glad it's the first time I've been to Seattle. And the event was actually right outside of Seattle and the Tacoma area.
Isn't Seattle just so cool?
It was neat.
I don't know. Like, it just feels, it just feels like it's full of cool people.
Well, apparently there's a volcano right there also, which was neat. Because there was one day where there was no clouds and you could just see this big old volcano sitting over there.
Is that Mount Baker? Is that the big one that you can see?
Rainier?
Oh, Rainier. Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know.
There's a number of volcanoes along there.
Yeah, my wife asked me. I was like, I don't know, Vesuvius. It just looks cool. I don't know. not from being from around there, but it was the nice chill atmosphere. The people at the events were really, really cool, and we got to stream some of it. So if you're curious about the coverage, maybe go back and check out some of the games we got to show. There were some interesting displays of generalship, and it was people playing the whole way through and having a pretty good time. And the hotel was connected to the convention center too, which I'm always a big fan of, making it easy to get back and forth.
What did you think of the food of Seattle?
I did go to kind of a cool place near there where I got kind of a fancy charcuterie board.
Can't go wrong.
That sounds like Seattle.
I mean, has anybody ever like had a charcuterie board and been like, this didn't do it for me?
Try to avoid those places, But no, I mean, for me, I don't find anything too spectacular about the food in Seattle. I hope I'm not offending any Seattleians. I don't even know what to call them, but certainly, let me know where to go the next time I'm there.
I call them Frasers.
Okay.
Joking.
Go ahead. Go on,
Ham. Myself another hole with another American state. definitely be welcome back. I was trying to think of what Seattle synonymous with. I'm like, the only thing that I said I was like before going to Seattle, the only thing I knew it for was Starbucks and Fraser.
Starbucks. I definitely had a coffee.
You didn't know it for like grunge music?
Of course.
No, I didn't.
It's the birth of grunge music.
What, Nirvana?
Yeah, like all of them.
Pearl Jam?
Yeah.
Wow.
How to alienate the audience in two easy steps.
I'm a divisive character.
Yeah, that's what you are. It's okay, folks. He doesn't have to come back.
No, actually I missed grunge, which was weird. I went to the heavier stuff, like, yeah, straight over grunge into like System of a Down, and I just never came back.
Good old new metal. So actually grunge was before my time, gentlemen.
Yeah, so, mine too.
Yeah, but I still listened to it because I was that kid in high school. Can't listen to that radio music.
My brother ruined it for me. Because he was a musician, and he showed me how easy most of all the people. He showed me what power chords were. He's like, all that music you think you like, it's just this. I'm like, oh man.
I'm just going to be really, really controversial right now, and I'm just going to say Alice in Chains was the best out of all of the grunge bands.
Oh my goodness, that is not true.
It is true.
I'm going to try to bring us back on course here, although, you know, looking forward to the comments. Please let us know what your favorite 90s band.
And why is it Alice in Chains?
I'm going to go in the comments and put that people are all over the place. They just couldn't focus on a topic.
Oh, we've got a topic. It's just, you know, maybe not the
are
one.
You sure?
What about these Leagues of Otan in Necromunda?
Dude, the trike. The freaking trike. They did it. The crazy, crazy SOBs did it.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a faction that people really dig on.
Or don't like me. I'm not a fan.
You don't like the aesthetic of some of the...
Absolutely not. I thought I didn't orcs because they were too blocky. I don't like dwarves because they're too, like, weirdly curved at unnecessary places.
I thought you were going to like immediately start throwing them into your like Inquisitor warbands and that kind of stuff.
I mean, that's something like the whatchamacallit, the two Necromunda ones that are in there, mm-hmm. not the actual Necromunda squad, but like those look cool. I was on board with that, like the Necromunda feel to it, but then they went all like domed helmet and everything. Ah, no, man, I'm not for it. It's cool. You know what? There's lots of people out there. I know that people are excited about squats and they're really all aboard. And just like orcs, you can be as excited about that as you want. I still don't have to like it. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's one of the things. They're 26 something factions or whatever.
That's right. Like, yep. And one of them can be as ugly as squats.
Oh, my goodness.
So sappy.
Sorry.
Oh, man. See, if I said any of those things, Red would have just been like, he would just turn to Red and he's already lighting his pitchfork and his fiery brand.
You make it an easy for him is what he would think. He's like, oh, I didn't even have to try today.
I have the same opinion of these models as I did of the Torox Prime. I will wait to see it in person before I cast judgment because I've done it too many times where I've just like kind of knee-jerked because I personally love the individual models, but for some reason I haven't fallen in love with the trike. I'll wait to see it in person before I give a verdict. I want to see how big it is. I want to see the scale. But okay. Doctor Who. Yeah. Who knows Sontarans from Doctor Who?
I do not.
No.
Okay.
This actually isn't helping the argument at all.
It's not. It's little potato dudes. That's what they look like. They're little potatoes in armor. About. And I'm trying to unsee it. And now so are you.
Oh, my God. Well, look, I think this is pretty cool. And I'm looking for any kind of like bits like this, I'm all about. And it looks like they're going to be almost like the Scions to where they're kind of like a canvas to really go nuts with the painting if you want to, or stay kind of basic with them, like space, you know, like just regular old run-of-the-mill Space Marines.
So I can't wait to actually read the fluff. I'm really interested in their story. I'm super interested
to figure out how they got back into this war.
I wonder how they fit in. I wonder what their relationships are of them between the Imperium and them between freaking orcs and Tau. I wonder how they fit into this cosmic soap opera that we have that I love.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Yeah, really.
I promise to be like more open minded. Like when the Tau came out the first time, I'm like, no new factions. What is this? This lore's been around for 5 years. What do you mean? You know? And here we are 30 years later. I'm still considering Tau a new faction.
Me too. Funny enough, I do. Funny enough, I still consider them a newcomer. Maybe that's also how they're described in the fluff as well. They're considered a young
recently
species.
Discovered or whatever. Yeah. There's like, I know we're jumping around topics, but there's just a ton here. And I thought it was cool that the Leagues of Otan got some Necromunda and Warhammer 40,000 level, you know, all like it's truly going to be just, you know, a present in the lore.
Do you know what I love about the hover bike model?
Tell us.
It's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And they didn't have to make a big, you know, fanfare thing about it. She's doing her job. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Chica.
They handled it excellent. Yeah.
Lady in a black looking pretty fearsome. It's awesome.
That's right. Love it.
Yeah, this is going to be so cool. Yeah. Right, jumping around again, I know we're jumping around a bunch, but it's kind of hard to contain some of the enthusiasm around this stuff.
Yeah.
But what about
is
that
it
new
just
battle
me tank? Or I also want to jump in for a sec. Does anybody else get the feeling that we're going to be able to have like an entire Chaos army with only mortals, like just like a cultist Chaos army? It feels like they're trying to make it so you could play like a proper traitor guard fleshed out.
That would be cool. Are you saying just because of the kill team release and
yeah? So the kill team release plus all the new kits that they gave him at Warmerfest, we essentially got like cultist possessed is what I'm calling them. We have like a cultist command squad now as well. Like we got that sick banner bearer and all the other trimmings. It feels like they're trying to make the mortal side of Chaos really well fleshed out, which I think's long time coming. Can't wait, because it's one of the best model ranges, one of my most beloved model ranges was the Militia and Cults range from Forge World, which has gone the way of the Dodo at the moment, which leads me to believe that that's maybe what we're leaning into. They're bringing a plastic side to it, and it would just be cool. It would be cool to have just traitor like mortals, just a rabble, but you have an army of rabble. It would feel awesome.
I do feel like that does feel like the way that they're going, and for me, after reading I have a long way to go in the Horus Heresy and in Black Library, but like in the few instances where I've actually read about Chaos Space Marines, there always seems to be more mortals than there are Space Marines, right? Like there's like one Space Marine that is like in charge of an entire like company.
Or when they show up, it's like a big deal. Like it's hey, Kool-Aid coming through the walls and stuff. While
yeah. So I think that's pretty cool that you could actually that instead of if this is what they're doing, I think it's cool that it's still in the Chaos Space Marine Codex. Just because I think that they would sort of play together. You know what I mean? Like and not necessarily as like an ally matrix. I just think that they should be in the same faction.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Too soon to tell. But, you know, nice that they're repackaging these models. I think some of them had been like not in a box that you could get.
Even if it's not like canon, I feel like with the new model range, you could still narratively build that army like that with the new models.
Well, I think it's totally canon. Yeah, I think it totally fits.
Oh, there's definitely worlds that have fallen out there. But, you know, with one of the neatest things about like the human sized figures is, you know, if they've got something that even remotely resembles a lasgun, you know, they could be an infantry squad.
It's true.
Huh?
And speaking of, I'm going to talk about that battle tank. New, what is it called?
The Kratos?
Yeah, the Kratos. The one that's like the Sakaaran body style.
Are we back to Heresy now?
Yeah, about
Sakaaran. Yeah,
I mean for sure. I've always kind of liked the body style. I admit, looking at, my more modern favorite tanks like the Abrams and whatnot, like it has some similar angles. I still hate how 40K and even 30K clearly like to stick it with smaller turrets and everything, but I really like the new the Kratos and its the configuration it has. I liked the weapon chart that they showed. It looked really
you
awesome.
You are associated with real world tanks. Mm.
Yes.
So probably your opinion, you know, is probably rooted to what is functional, and I just want to know what looks cool. And this is like the Sakaaran body tank style tank is probably my favorite tank.
Yeah. No, I think that they went and don't get me wrong on the Sakaaran. I mean the Predator and everything, it's kind of like the Predator just doesn't even compare to the Sakaaran like chassis, right? Like the chassis, this thing looks like it was meant to roll through like buildings, the way that it's shaped and everything. It's just a wedge.
Yeah, it's like Batman's tumbler or whatever it's called.
It is, yeah. It just looks like it could roll through stuff. And I think that that's really appealing as far as the tank looks goes. It's not a box like the Predator was. I understand, like, there's something, if you look at the configuration between Rhinos, Razorbacks, Predators, so on and so forth, there's some kind of like a blocky standardization to it. It fits conveniently in the build and how they designed, what was that, the Thunderhawk?
I don't know if this is true or not, and I've said it before on the show, but I think it's worth repeating, is that the... like the modern day, I say modern, the Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine range, everything is designed to look like a fist.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yes.
It's true.
It's just a big block, right?
That yeah, could just very, a flying fist.
Very well resemble a fist. Yeah. And so with this new tank structure and the way that it's not really new, it's just mainly the turret. But the chassis is great. I'm a huge fan. And then you look at the turret itself and the main gun it has, the main gun's pretty tight. I mean, it definitely, if you really wish something closer to what a tank would have, the ability to take out other vehicles. It does have some variations, which I thought were cool, between like the Melta and everything. But I thought that was a good show. Between that and the release of the box set with the Spartan and everything, it's pretty exciting.
You want to talk about a box? Like, that plastic Sakaaran has me all levels of excited. But that thing is literally the most cuboid of all cubes.
Maybe the
Proteus Land Raider, because that one's actually symmetrically cubed, is a true box.
Yeah, the Spartan. Yeah, that thing is. Yeah, it's massive too. Can't wait to doctor that thing, you know, basically try to get some paint on that thing. This is a good times. This is gonna be. I mean, it's gonna be like people that don't even play Heresy are gonna be getting this just for the models. Just it's happening. So
you know, there's 40K rules for the Spartan. Like, yeah, it's just straight up, you can just play it in 40K if you want.
Yeah, I think the models are cool. The character models especially are cool. It's like they have a real unique look to them that we have not seen in on the tabletop, like with any models, period. So I think people are going to be snapping these up and doing some trading and kit bashing and all that kind of stuff.
Have I told you guys my heresy plans?
No, but
isn't that
I'm
like
sure
step one is don't tell anyone your heresy plans?
For the longest, because I'm Dark Angels. I've decided to take my, I've decided to go Caliber Knights to go trade Dark Angels. It's time. I'm just going to declare it. Everybody out there.
It's weird. Like, traitor Dark Angels just sounds like you're playing Dark Angels.
Dark Angels. Yeah, I know. That's the, literally, if I had wrote a script for this episode, that's what Red's line would have said. The more I read, so I've got the Luther novel, which I love. I love Luther's, and I actually really like the Calvinite perspective of the heresy. Like, this is your problem. We're looking after Caliban. You guys just go and be stupid over there in the corner, killing yourselves and each other. That's fine. And they're just like, Caliban's ours. We make our own little empire over here. And as narcissistic and self-serving as it is, you kind of get it. You kind of get it when you look at the heresy from like a bit back. You're like, yeah, that's messed up. It's not, let's not do that bit. Let's just suss this out. And actually, I one of the things I really want to do is I'm really looking forward to like sculpting and building my own Luther model.
Nice.
So I think, yeah, exactly right. Like, what do you do? He's not quite a space marine, but he's so much more than a human that you kind of have to just make something up. And
you
it's
think
really
you gotta go to the Black Templar range, right, and start borrowing some of those parts.
Well, guess what, I have a lot of parts for.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I've decided to do that, everybody. I'm in. I'm all in. Let's do it. Trade a Caliber Knights. Let's do it.
Man, I'm looking forward to seeing what you do.
Pretty much what I've already done, except I'm going to make one of their shoulders.
Well,
pretty much one of their shoulders is going to be more green than it was, essentially.
You got your, you're going to want some of the new models, and you know you're going to have your Luther character, so we got to...
Yeah, I'm going to have a Luther, and then every other character in my army is either going to be a librarian or a Chappie, because that makes the most sense thematically.
Nice. All right, we'll take a quick break, then we'll come back and have an interesting anecdote to share. Well, a story. I have a story to share. See you in a minute.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games, Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Hey, everybody, we are back. So we've got the whole crew here. Thanks for checking out our sponsors. Please also consider getting a t-shirt. The link will be in the show notes. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, write us a note. you know, all that good stuff. We appreciate it. So the story I wanted to share was my oldest son, believe it or not really into 40K.
Impossible.
Got his own stuff, you know, his own thing. But he's recently started playing Dawn of War, is what he told me. And he's got all the DLCs and he's seemingly enjoying it. But then he sent me this text yesterday. He says, "Hey, if the Necrons have weapons that can kill gods, why don't they assault the Emperor directly? I'm sure the Custodes would be light work."
Hmm.
So I tweeted about this and got all kind of, it was a great discussion, people chiming in why that would or would not happen or what would happen if that did happen. So this is this is someone who does not have, you know, the deep level of knowledge of the lore, looking at it just a cursory, and that's the opinion that they made. I'm curious what y'all think.
I have a question to, I guess, sort of elaborate on his question. Are all gods created equal?
I don't think so.
Well, then there might be the answer.
Yeah. One person either on this, I'll put this on Twitter at warmaster_TPM. And one person said, well, the Emperor said he's not a god, so those weapons wouldn't work.
Got him.
I mean, simplest solution at all, you know?
I mean, the simplest answer is if they could have, they would have, probably. Like, you know?
Well, if my actual answer to him, and now this does not mean it's right, let's continue the debate, was the Necrons had their own stuff going on. Like, they're factionalized.
They kind of don't. From what I can see on the, what I'm remembering from the Necron Codex, their planetary empires are pretty far away from Terra. Like, there's none like that are abutting Terra. Like, they're not, it's not direct competition there. And from what I can tell,
been to Mars
as well,
recently then. But okay.
That's true. They just G Dub invented a plot reason for them to make an awesome miniature. It's the way I read that. They've been wanting to do it for years. The way it's described is that they're pretty stable empires. Like the Sortek dynasty is massive and kind of just does its own thing. Like, they're more concerned with expansion, and they're just expanding rather than feeling threatened. And so possibly that's it. They're just looking at the Emperor like, you're not a threat. We're just going to do our own stuff. And when we get to you, we'll get to you.
That's kind of the consensus of actually Twitter, was that like, they just didn't care. The Necrons didn't care.
And exactly right. And for them, like, taking another 1,000 years to reconquer the rest of the galaxy, that's like tomorrow to them, because they've been around for a bajillion years.
I think I can get behind that answer, but there are probably lots of things, you know, I know that the Emperor influences travel around the Sol system, so they may not even be able to get there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they have a weird galactic transport system. They have before, I think, the assistance of the Star Gods, they just used freaking jet engines. They just used rockets to get around. And then was it the Star Gods that got on the Dolmen Gates?
Yeah, they have Dolmen Gates, and I don't think it's the Star Gods. I actually think that's just the technology they had. Yeah. They just ripped through space and time.
Yeah, it's like a brutal webway, right? There's no real place in between. They just event horizoning, bang, bang.
Yeah, it's not even, you know, it has nothing to do with the warp. It's not a webway. It's literally just like transmat.
It's Goku's instant transmission.
Okay, thanks for bringing that
second
one back.
Second TV show. That's a callback. That's a callback, people.
That is what we call a callback. I'm with you.
But theoretically they could just bounce into the Sol system and be like, hey, we're here, it's go time. So I guess they're like, well, we'll get to it when we get to it.
Would the Custodes be light work?
No.
I mean, I think they're suggesting, when you're suggesting the star killing like weapons they have, that's like the freaking Death Star. They're just gonna pop up like a super monolith and just nuke Earth.
Do they still have the super weapons though? Did the super weapons not like...
Absolutely.
Okay, well, all right.
I mean, go to Devastation of Bale. Come on, Blood Angel player here. Where you been?
was that Mefret? Paul just doesn't want to believe.
Yeah.
He admitted all that bit when he was reading it. Those were just empty pages to him. Couldn't see him.
Pretty sure it was Dante who was negotiating with Mefret. And yeah. Mefret was like, well, see, so we've got this thing. And I mean, the best way that they describe it, and I'm paraphrasing here, is it's like a star-based vacuum cleaner that they were going to use to like clean up parts of the galaxy, more or less. And I really am paraphrasing there. I've made that part up.
I don't think it's
but they do have a weapon that was essentially like using a star to just kind of turn it into a big beam. And that's what they
like
use
a Death Star.
Hit. No, I don't think it's a Death Star.
Okay. I'm just checking.
I'm not going to use those two words together, but it was They turned it into like a star beam or whatever, and
was
it wiped
like
out
a
most
star
of the
killer
oh,
base
God.
Of some kind.
Oh no!
You know what? We've got this. You guys keep bringing up stuff. There's this really funny thing I saw recently. It's my turn to tangent. It's it was someone was calling someone saying like Dragon Ball Z's for nerds or for young children or whatever, and it was like the company that is currently streaming Dragon Ball Z had a picture of Gohan. It was like, these hands are rated E for everyone. And I was like, oh snap, that's a really good one. So I just thought that one, I needed to bring that one in. Anyways.
So they do have the weapons of... Like,
yeah, they've got super weapons.
They're the God-killing weapons.
I think we go back to the complacency of like, they really do feel like they have forever to make this work because they're not going anywhere, that they're not in the... They're not all in the business of just straight up shutting stuff down, except for that whole like psychic awakening thing where they were like nullifying all of the humans and turning them into goobs.
Well, occasionally you got to do stuff, you know. Gotta...
Yeah.
So I don't know where everyone else is. I don't know how anybody else's imagination works, because as far as I can tell, mine's one of a kind, because it's absolutely ridiculous. But when you were talking about the vacuum cleaner, say that's going to vacuum clean it up, I just had an image of like Enrique the Traveler, like doing like a telecommercial production for like Dante and the Sangard, looking quizzical as he picks out a Dyson out of his bag. It's like, so this is your tendril problem right here. This new vacuum cleaner is going to solve it right. It's going to suck it right up. See? All gone. And this is the best thing ever.
Just doing the like door-to-door salesman vacuum pitch.
Yeah. It's Enrique the Traveler, except he's like freaking Danos Direct Enrique. Amazing.
Gosh. You know, and that just takes me back to remembering just how much plot armor the Blood Angels walked away with to actually remain in the game. Like, well, not only did the Necrons like destroy like parts of the solar system to make it work, but they also got like the Blood Angels got saved by Korn. There's a lot going on there to keep the Blood Angels in this story.
Yeah. The only person who I think who's got more is freaking Khalgar. Like, the amount of plot armor that guy's wearing is like the entirety of McCrag only exists to protect Khalgar. Like, it's every defense system is like. Yeah, so in one of the Gathering Storm books, or was it? No, it wasn't. It was one of the Nachman Gorman
Vigilus,
books. One of the Vigilus. Yeah. And so, all right, so Khalgar has gone one-on-one with the Swarm Lord, got it handed to him, like just snuck away.
He got his like arms torn off or something, didn't he? I mean,
neither of his arms, but he made it out of that fight somehow. And I think there's like three or four other ones, but the one that jumped to mind was and this one annoyed me to no ends, by the way, because I thought, oh, finally, like, you know, they've taken some insight from Game of Thrones. We're going to see some big chops, big heads on the chopping blocks in the 41st millennium, because we just come off the Gathering Storm where a lot of stuff went down. And this was the first campaign book, I think, of 8th or 9th edition. And Abaddon was one-on-one-ing with Khalgar. Once again, Abby hands him it, like, kicks Khalgar's absolute booty hole in. And he's about to kill Khalgar. He literally has him at his mercy, lying at his feet, broken man. And then he gets, like, teleported back into the vengeful spirit. And I'm like, just one more stab, Abby, and you can go. Just one. You couldn't stab him one more time. You stab him, like, 10 times. One more was just out of reach.
Wait, Abaddon's like, on, like, his 17th crusade. He can't close the deal, all right?
Dang. Abaddon gets no coffee. Dang.
Another thing, like, if you want to talk about somebody who has sorry, I don't know if I've done this bit on this show, but please tell me if I have and you can edit it out. But Abaddon to me feels like the, remember Pokemon Team Rocket, how they're always blasting off again? That's about, like, I was reading part of the, I don't want to spoil anything, but part of the Siege of Terror, and I'm just like, oh my god, that's the, he just blasted off again. Like, just and literally, and then I remember the Vigilus storyline where he teleports up into the Vengeful Spirit at the last second because something's about to go down, and it just seems like that's been his perpetual storyline. Like, he's about to do something cool. Oh, no, can't do it. Beams out. I'm just,
that's
like,
what I thought was really cool when he closed. He did, you know, get Cadia, you know, finally.
He got it. Yeah, but I mean, it still stands. What the rocks? We can push them back together. It'll be fine.
Let's get some tape.
Tons of duct tape.
Yeah.
It's good. Flex tape will fix that.
It's going to be fine. Everybody be cool.
Yeah, it's fine. It'll buff right out.
Get the plaster of Paris. It's fine.
Yeah. Dang. So that question was cool. I got to, you know, put a smile on my face getting that text, you know, out of nowhere that morning.
Well, it brings on all that brings in all the big questions of the 41st millennium. Like, where is the balance of power? Like, because I mean, the assumption is it doesn't reside with the Imperium anymore. It's been kind of divvied up between many, which is like, you know, where we left it at the end of the Horus Heresy, and even after the scouring, the balance of power was definitely in the hands of the Imperium. But it's been eroded. Now, who's the dominant force? Is there a dominant force? Is that the story they're telling right now?
Yeah, the Imperium's been cut, you know, basically separated into two parts. Mm-hmm. So the full might of the Imperium does not exist at this moment. And just does that story element in our minds give rise to these other powerhouses? Do we now feel like the Imperium is assailable?
Absolutely. Like, yeah. I mean, also, there's so many plot devices that they've still yet to really like activate. They're just kind of waiting in the wings. Like, there's another great war that Gaz can lead. You know, there is like the supposed Hive fleet of Tyranids, the galaxy ending amount of Tyranids that could just be on
which
the
one
horizon.
Is that? Is it Leviathan or Behemoth or something?
Well, supposedly they're all splinter fleets. They're all tendrils of some bigger, you know, master freaking fleet. The one that's already been locust swarming itself through the entire universe.
That's horrifying. And they're just,
yeah, exactly. That's what it's been alluded to many times, that there could be like an actual like galaxy ending sized Tyranid fleet, like actual Hive on the horizon. You know, Necrons are still, they still boast about how there's billions of Necrons still to be awakened, you know, stuff like that. There's so many other plot devices still to come, except for Eldar. Nah, on the decline. See you later.
That is fine. Something that's kind of neat.
You think so?
No, they got a big revival with what's the god? Yukon's the avatar. What's the name of the god? You need.
Yeah.
It's not the god you want. It's the god you need. That's
Iniad.
Right.
That is crazy.
No, Adam. No.
Yes, Adam. Yes. I'm here to infuriate angst. Instigate. Jeez.
So the next thing you hit me with a few, like an hour or so later, was, you know, do you think if an orc got a hand on some Imperium tech that all they have to do is just believe and they know how to use it? So I'm only mentioning that. That's not like a world shaking fact for us, but it's kind of interesting that is one of the things that anyone who gets to know Warhammer 40,000, that they somehow instantly learn that the orcs can just make stuff happen.
I don't think it's like an individual orc can shape reality though, right? Like, is like, don't, doesn't it need to be like a quite substantial group of orcs in order for that to work?
I don't think so. And the reason I say that is because I seem to remember, and I could have made the story up in my mind, I don't know, but like an orc finding a rifle that had no ammunition, like laying in the mud, and picked it up and was able to start ripping out Daka. Just a single orc. It could have been part of a big orc battle, though, so maybe they was fueled by the Wah all around.
Yeah, like, I was so sure that it had to be a group of them together to have like enough of the energy that they needed to shape reality.
I think that's how they get into space. Is like they just all get around something that's vaguely rocket shaped or potato shaped, asteroid shaped, and then it just hurls itself into the space.
I mean, I agree, Tanya. It is something of a, you know, mass is an element unto itself, and the way that they spread, you know, now that the way that the war has gone by spores and everything, that where there's one orc, there's probably a ton of Gretchen, and that it all just means that there's going to be more and more over time. And so with that, I mean, there used to be a mechanic, right, that played directly into that concept with, if there, for however, what was it, every 10 boys that were nearby, a weird boy got plus one to their psyker test or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In the old book, yeah.
Yeah, so it used to be something that they really played into that mechanic. So I definitely, that has been part of the lore, that they could do greater things. But I also think, you know, to Paul, your point, I think that the longer an orc lives, the bigger it gets and the more it kind of gathers to it. I think that there is a lot of probably momentum behind something like Gazgul being able to, and it, you know, if you've read the Beast series, that kind of almost personality momentum that some of the larger orcs have been able to gain over time with just what they believe.
So now that Yarik is like an orc folk hero, Does that mean that he is effectively immortal?
I mean, there's a part to it that, yeah, I know I've seen some really fun discussions about that, that like what makes Yorick actually able to endure is that the orcs want him to be that thing, which is pretty fun.
Oh, that's cool. I never thought of that.
Yeah, that's where he gets his feel no pain from. Gets to his last wound, gets that 3-up feel no pain in the rules. It's because the orcs just believe too much.
The orcs need
believe him so much.
That's cool.
Man, I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah, maybe we are shaking the lore foundations of this conversation. I just thought it was cool that like everyone who even like picks up one 40K book knows that orcs can do stuff like this.
Have you been waiting for this day for many years? Like, do you have a whole like Dark Angels army set aside just for this time?
This is like, here you like, go. No, he's like, you know, I think the tower kind of cool. I'm like, well, you know, I got some tower downstairs. You know,
you know what? I have the documents of disownment right here. You know, you can play tower.
Dang.
Not in mine.
I didn't want to hit him with that, you know.
Nah, you can't. You can't. That's not right.
Dear diary, today is the most proud day of my life as a father until my son asked to play Tau.
He hadn't gotten there yet, but he is, at least whatever. But there's so many different ways to enjoy this hobby. So, you know, the books, the games, the TV shows.
And just to be clear, I say those things out of total jest.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Now,
all the power to you. I have nothing disparaging. It's just funny.
I actually really, really like Tau. I think if I didn't already have a shooting army and I wanted to pursue that, I think Tau would be like my second choice.
I think, and even from a fluff point of view, like you look at Tau and just like, you're just kind of a two rungs better than the Imperium, aren't you? Like you're pretty terrible. You treat each other a little bit better than the Imperium does. Haven't quite gone down that rabbit hole. Like that greater good is not at the end. It's end game yet.
Could
like,
they really treat like any worse? I mean, that bar is real low.
For the Imperium?
Yes.
Yeah. When the corpse starch is or actual thing.
Yep.
Yeah, Imperium's a terrible place. Terrible place. I suppose we can talk a little bit about Chaos Knights. And the fact that I know there were, you know, there's been lots of places that have probably covered it, so we don't have to get deep into it. But I painted some. That is also up on Twitter and Instagram. And they're cool kits. The new Abominant and the new War Dogs, the Carnivores, and the other, you can make a couple of different types of kits with the smaller ones, but they come with tons of bits. Like you have It is very conceivable that you could make whatever your knight of choice is and even the war dogs of choice and use the spare bits to kit out two or three of the other like Imperial style kits that you, if you chose to go use those models in your army.
Any bits that you could kit bash traitor guard vehicles?
Yeah, there's chains and like chaos symbols and banners and you definitely can. Like you could spread these kits around to multiple different projects to kind of either tie your army together or, you know, just make it look unique. So the War Dog specifically comes with several heads, so you can mix and match. Like if you got the, you know, what they call the Executioner, which is the ones with the two autocannon arms, or the Huntsman, which is your armiger. You know, you could really spread these bits around.
I have some Imperial Knights and I intend to play them with this new codex and build them up and paint them because I've been wanting to do it for ages and just keep putting it off. But I'm committed to doing it now. And then all of a sudden, G-Dub brings out just the bee's knees best knight kits ever. And you're just like, well, my guys look plain freaking Jane now, don't they? Like, I could paint these guys up to the best of my ability, and then someone just rocks up with like a couple of hours on their Renegade Knights because that's what they want out of their hobby, and all of a sudden, like, theirs look better than mine. they're so good. I don't want to be too excited, but especially the Armigers. I feel like it with the big knights, you know, the big, beautiful panels on the big Questorus knights, you can do a lot with them. You can do a lot to make them amazing and beautiful and gorgeous and transfers and stuff. But those war dogs, you put those war dogs next to the Imperial Armigers and you're like, holy moly, these things are not created upon the same parameters. Those war dogs are freaking incredibly good. Those kits.
Their hulls look like the top carapaces look a lot different.
I love them.
I haven't really been staying on top of the rules and all that stuff, but I did see that the Imperial Knights, you'll be able to bring a detachment in your Imperial army?
You can ally them, yeah. You bring a detachment of them, and it has no negative impact.
Interesting. Did Chaos get the same thing?
They did. Yeah.
Agents of Chaos.
Okay, cool. I mean, yeah, I wasn't too sure, but I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. I hope that Chaos gets it too.
In my opinion, like, a single knight is like just about everything that Guard needs at the moment to shore up, you know, the things that they're lacking. And there are so many Chaos armies that are not just... brings the spice. If you want to play the monster mash again, you know, when you're playing your bunch of greater demons with Bellicor, maybe like adding a knight or not, or being, you know, whatever, it really does really change up the equation. It really asks a lot more questions.
Knights is a psyker, and it's also got a decent gun, like the Knight Abominate with the Volkite Combustor. Heavy 6, strength 10, neg 1 AP, 3 damage. Each time an attack is made with this weapon, an unmodified wound roll of 6 inflicts 3 mortal wounds on the target in addition to any normal damage.
It's not too shabby.
Yeah. You can buff it up. You know, that's one of the coolest things. You can stack some of these things on the knights that can make them be able to take a punch, which I think is one of the concern about having big models on the table right now. And then you can have a bunch of other stuff kind of be offensive. So it's going to kind of force some target priority issues with your opponent, I think. And yeah, I think that's a great idea of putting Bellicor and a couple of Bloodthirsters. You know? Or probably Keepers, I guess. Sorry, Red.
No, it's okay. Bloodthirsters are better, but we don't have to discuss that in depth. But, I mean, I think, you know, talking about allying with... Someone asked me what the next best artillery piece for Guard was after Manticores. And I was like, well, now it's Knights. That's really... I know it's not indirect. It is not artillery in the same regard, but... Knights are an amazing thing to add to Guard, really, in my opinion.
Just run over there, peek over the building, throw some shots down. You know, what else you need?
Right.
You know, it's a fun project. So, you know, kind of, I used my weathering scheme on the knights, and the knight carapaces are basically just like an open canvas to whatever it is you want to do. So I try to put kind of like a unique color scheme on it. Well, unique for me anyway. It was challenging at the time, but I kind of got it down to a science. So I was able to kick out these knights fairly quickly. I painted the Knight Abominate and 7 War Dogs in like a couple of weeks.
Nice.
That's almost an army. I had a Castellan painted already, so that actually is an army.
I got a secondhand army for AOS. I have a second army now, and the goal of it was to, well, one, I was inspired by a piece of album artwork, so I wanted to paint my Night Haunt like that, but then I also wanted to paint it really quickly. So I Zenithal primed it, but like... the highlight is actually just like the main color of the model. And so for me, painting a model in like an hour is amazingly fast. And I painted a character in an hour and I was like, yes, this is what I'm talking about. Yes, this is it. So yeah, once I get this last little bit of my ogres done, then I'm going to like probably assembly line all of that Night Haunt stuff.
What was the album?
It's actually an EP by a band called Lorna Shore. It's called And I Return to Nothingness. It's pretty heavy, Paul.
All right.
Yeah.
Question where inspiration comes from. You know, it just, if it gets you, it gets you. And that's cool that you found the scheme, because that's kind of the thing. It's like, I know you like painting and you're great at it, but there is something said about getting an army on the table pretty quick, like playing with it.
Yeah, like I painted my custodies really fast. And there's something so satisfying about like not having an army done. And then for me, like less than 6 weeks later, having 2000 points done, that's an amazing accomplishment. I've never done that before. And I just felt so satisfied. So I'm going to try and do it again, but this time with my Night Haunt, surprisingly also red.
Do you have an army list picked up?
I don't. My husband actually secured me a second bunch of secondhand models, which I'm waiting to come in. And then I'm not even going to look at the old codex because the new codex goes out for pre-order this week, I believe. Oh, cool. So, yeah, I'm just going to wait till that comes in, and then I'm going to start making army lists.
Very nice. That's the wispy type undead.
Yeah, they're like the ghosts, like wearing your bed sheets ghosts.
They put out some really cool models recently too, like the guy on the like the dais or whatever.
Yeah, he's like a librarian or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy in the boat, the oarsman.
Oh, is that out yet?
I think it's pre-release this week as well.
Okay.
Either that or it comes in the box. I'm not sure. I'm not getting the box, though.
Well, looks cool.
The models are so cool. My husband also did get me Lady Olander. You know, some women get roses, but I get...
There's roses on that model.
There are roses on her. She's very pretty.
That's another one that's like great for bits. That was one of those, you know, when the model first came out, like, it's intimidating. Like, I'm never going to make it look as good as that box art.
You think so? Is that where your mind goes?
Sometimes it does. I mean, and I'm not saying that's right. I kind of brought it up for the point of it's like, you don't have to be as good as the box art. You can, like, sometimes the box art is, I don't want to say it's an intentionally unattainable, but, you know, it's really good. Sometimes I feel like it is intentionally attainable. But I look at the definition of the face, you know, just with that, you know, you're talking about it's like the bedsheet ghost. And, but yeah, you can still tell there's a lot of definition there. Like, oh man, I'm just not as delicate with my washes.
You know what's funny about this, like, Zenithal kind of prime that I did? It doesn't even require any washes. I didn't use one. Oh, that's not true. I used a wash on the metallics on my model, but I didn't use any other washes on it because the Zenithal basically did it all. Hey, it rhymes.
There you go. That could be a new hobby tip.
Zenithal does it all.
Yeah.
In general, I'm a person that I don't like Zenithal because I feel like as soon as you put a fully opaque paint over it, I don't think that it makes that much of a difference. But in this case, the Zenithal highlight is actually just doing the painting for me, and I just clean it up a little bit. But it's the majority of the paint, so it makes more sense to me.
I can only kind of get that effect when it's like a really, really dark color and my Zenithal is a really, really light color.
Mm.
And then I just, you know, then I'm basically painting with a wash or a contrast.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think it looks awesome when you paint with contrast.
Yeah.
But if you just use a regular paint and people do it, I'm like, didn't you just do an extra step for nothing?
That's what the airbrush comes in for.
Yeah.
I guess.
I don't have one of those.
Yeah. I do, and I still can't make it happen. So. Subject for another day. Well, that's our show this week. I know that it's been a bit of a mixed bag, but I mean, there's a lot happening with our hobby this week and over the last couple of weeks. So hopefully if you didn't catch all that on the internet, which I'm sure you did, we'll catch you up. But yeah, that's it for this week. Y'all got anything you want to add before we wrap this up?
Yeah, the new Possessed. I'm not a fan. Sorry, I just need to throw that in there. I gotta say. Like, we talked about the Demon Prince, we talked about the Cultist. I'm cool with the Cultist. I think that's a great direction to go. The new Possessed, man, I don't know what's up with them not having armor on their thighs specifically, but I love Possessed.
What if
it
is?
The direction of it. Gal Vorbach are some amazing looking models when it comes to Horus Heresy. They are just, those are the bee's knees of Possessed. And I can't tell you, just, that's all I wanted. Was 40k Gal Vorbach. And I know that's maybe a bridge too far, but the new Possessed, oof, I've been holding that in all night. I had to get it out. No, Doug, there's some cool stuff to the Possessed. It's easy to fix that with the legs and all that as far as the looks. It's just with the black armor and then like the flesh color that they did for some of those models, it kind of threw me off, but I think it'll look great.
I'll have to go back and check them out because I don't remember having that reaction.
It's like 3 out of 5 of the models, for whatever reason, they decided to take their pants off. So,
well, there we go. On that note, we're going to wrap this up. Really appreciate everybody tuning in.
Have a great night, everybody.
Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Check out those models. We'll see y'all next week.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
What they said, but I already subscribed. You better do it too.